You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. every single day across North Alabama, Southern Tennessee, and points beyond when you listen live on the internet. It's a great day. It's Tuesday, and Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. Is it only Tuesday?
It's only Tuesday. I know we've crammed in like 5 days worth of stuff into a day and a half, but yes, it is only Tuesday. But it's gonna be a full show. I mean, there's so many things going on. I'm gonna start a new thing. Gonna try and tell you what I'm gonna be calling my Triple Dipper, which is the three biggest shows I think or stories you need to be tracking. Gonna be looking at several things that are in the news right now, some of which are breaking as we speak. I mean, the situation down on the southern border in Del Rio, Texas, especially, is just completely out of control. And the Biden administration, actually Biden himself, just said something about it. And I'll tell you about that here in a bit. But listen, I mean, so if you're tracking the news, and I'm gonna focus a little bit on states for a bit, because states are the firewall, and I'll come back to that. But if you're tracking the news right now, you may have heard that our state legislature is going into special sessions just in the upcoming weeks. I mean, we got issues of prisons and redistricting, which should be a huge, huge deal to y'all. Because the question is, do you want prisoners turned out in your streets, which they could be, or do you want them also, by the way, to borrow a whole bunch of money, which they're talking about? At the same time, on the issue of redistricting, who is your state representative, your state senator right now? Will they still be after they draw the lines differently? Because they could. So questions still remain also whether the state house is going to be open to the public and the media for these special sessions. And they should be. It's the people's house. It's, you know, transparency and access are supposed to be very important to our democratic way of life. But during the COVID protocols, the public had very limited access. Even those who would be otherwise kind of inside the bubble, like people who were in the state house all the time, couldn't even come in to attend meetings. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But I need to ask you, too, is the concept of a truly reflective representative government, is that also important to you? And what I mean by that is that the elected officials should reflect the values of their districts, and they should do so as the duly elected representative of their folks back home. And that sounds pretty common sense, but let me just say it this way. At all levels of governance in this country, the elected officials placed in office are designed to be somewhat representative of their constituencies. And to be sure, some of our elected officials are by design intended to be actual representatives, hence the name House of Representatives. But I'm referring here to the synonymous use of the word by pointing out that our elected officials should actually look and act and feel and sound and behave and believe in a reasonably like manner to those who place them in their official positions, the voters. To some extent, a body of elected officials should be reflective of their body of constituents, sort of like a mirror to the community, if you will. Well, a classic example of that is our Alabama State Legislature. This group of 35 state senators and 105 state representatives who were elected from within their communities as the official representation of those communities to reflect state-level policymaking and the creation of laws, they are imbued with the trust and well wishes of the majority of the voters. The role of these two bodies of governance then should, for the most part, be like just a transference of the public will from their home districts to the state house in Montgomery. Now, to be sure, some of this, for some of them, is true. Unfortunately, for some of them, it is not. I recently heard a former colleague of mine, Dick Brubaker, he's been on the show with us, reflecting on the time that he and I had served together in the Alabama State Senate. His comment was rather eye-opening. He said, quote, "Today's Alabama legislature appears to act far more transactional and much less philosophical." In essence, what he was implying with just a few words was what many are seeing with great consistency, is that the Alabama House and Senate often seemingly are driven by matters that involve, you know, what one can give or take to get to their desired ends, as opposed to entering the debate from a principled position, a principled position that would then guide the debate from the beginning. So if all they're doing is voting in a way that, quote, makes a deal, or, quote, keeps the trains running, or, quote, satisfies all parties, then it means that principles are not the driving force in the debates. Now, in truth, there are times when the perfect can become the enemy of the good. I get that. Sometimes, if it can be done without sacrificing your core principles, then reasonable concessions can be made to get the votes. But if the starting point for the debate is just nothing but consensus, then that means no one is striving for a principle. They're just going to go along to get along. Margaret Thatcher, back when she was Prime Minister of Great Britain, she said once, quote, "True consensus is the absence of leadership," meaning that sometimes principles must prevail over politics. So a case in point would be the most recent legislative session. Alabama is a largely conservative state, given the polling of its populace, and you can tell. With a motto emblazed on the state house doorway of "We dare defend our rights," the people of this great state are often known as being fiercely independent, desirous of low taxes, rejecting of government overreach, and inclined towards matters of faith and family and traditional values. And that may not describe every member of Alabama society, but it does describe the majority. So issues such as school choice and limited government and traditional family values then are often seen as the intent of most Alabama voters when they select their officials at the polls. And one look at all the campaign ads these officials run during their campaigns, and you're going to see those same issues touted by the candidates when they are asking for the votes of the people. So with that being said, in regards to our legislature, how then does it come to be that despite those things being true, that in the last legislative session, the prime focus for the budgets appeared to be spending more without giving a dime back to taxpayers? Why is it that all school choice bills died in that session without even seeing the light of day? Why did they pass a bill that was ostensibly about medical marijuana, but disregarded the fact that it grew government exponentially and it raised taxes when it did so? And how is it that despite there was no public clamor, none, to demand across the scale more full-scale casinos in Alabama, that a gambling bill consumed the final weeks of the session? A bill which was also, by the way, fully designed to skirt Alabama's existing gambling laws and give a monopoly to those entities and bad actors who had done so for years. You see, now, I'll be honest. There were some conservative high points mixed into the overall session. There were. And there were some legislators, some, who scored very well on the Alabama Policy Institute's legislative scorecard. But the leadership of both the House and the Senate never once designed and promulgated an actual agenda that reflected the conservatism of the vast majority of the state. There was no plan. You see, we need conservative principles in our state governance. In fact, we are known as a conservative state, and therefore consistent application of such principles should be commonplace. But to do so, we need to see a return to the philosophical underpinnings that once legislated by means of an outspoken agenda, a plan, an actual slate of bills that actually matches the desires and the intent of the constituency that put those Republicans in office in the first place. It's really not too much to ask for a return to that philosophical approach to governance and to be less transactional in the way they do it. Because we are a conservative state. And if that is true, then our legislature should be a mirror to the broad base of the people they represent. And the state house must be reflective of the state. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, folks, I'm saying that because of this. We're in an election season, and yesterday I talked about getting conservatives to run for office. We have upwards of 22 seats in the Alabama legislature that are up for grabs because they're not even going to run again. And we have any number of folks, though, who have been down there so long, they don't know anything different, and their identities are vested in who they are in the legislature, and they forget their constituents too often. It's important that the legislature, along with other offices, actually reflects the people they represent. And if you think they're down there in a bubble, acting outside of your intent, well, you're the only ones that can do something about it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM. We will be right back after this.